Good afternoon, everybody. So glad to see you again tonight. I was told to keep it brief because of the game's coming on. So, let's go slow. No, I won't do that. You know what? When I was a kid, there was a four-letter word I was not supposed to say. In fact, it was a bad word. People used it, and it was very, very grating. That was the word nerd. When I was a kid, if you were a nerd, you were a bad thing. Now, since then, the word nerd has kind of become more of an endearing term. It's not a bad word anymore. At least it's not used as a cuss word like it was when I was a kid. In fact, some of the kids at Southwest School of Bible Studies who I've taught the last few quarters, and luckily we're not being driving to Austin once a week for a while now, so that's great. That makes a long day to drive to Austin and back one day and be there and teach. Although it was a wonderful experience. But they call each other Bible nerds. And I figure that works pretty well because the idea you're really being into something, and in fact, there you have a lot of students you might imagine would go there and become preachers of the gospel, which is what you support them for and you send money down there. But also, there are people who go there, don't take support. They just have, or maybe in nearby congregations, or at least maybe in Southwest. I know the classes I taught, there were some members of the church that were from Austin that were retired or semi-retired, and would just come one day a week and sit in class. Those were Bible nerds. They would just want to learn more about the Bible. They are curious about it. And so that idea of Bible nerd, I want to encourage you to be a Bible nerd, that you're interested in things of the Bible, you know. And so this idea of being curious about certain things is something that's been a part of my life for a long time. And when it comes to the Bible, I guess I've become part of a kind of a Bible nerd. I sit down to study a certain subject for a sermon and end up going in five different directions. I can't stop myself from just going one thing to another thing to another thing. And that's not bad. It is where you got to consider, if I have X hours for a sermon, I got to add X plus X to get more time for it because I get diverted so easily in my study. And that happened this week. I was doing some study about a sermon to preach, and I got hung up on some words. I want to share this with you tonight. My nerd study was about the word to consider. To consider. Because the word consider is used 68 times in the King James Bible, 68 times. Now, of that, there are 11 different Greek words in the Greek New Testament, and 28 Hebrew words to make up the word consider, at least often translated consider. Now, synonyms of this word are things like this. To see, consider, right? To comprehend, because consider means to think about, right? To realize, to ponder, to understand, to observe very carefully, and also to learn, to contemplate, to look out for, and to notice, to contemplate. That all makes sense. But to me, it comes down to this one word, right? When you go, often you're trying to work through something or figure something out or just contemplate it, right? You're trying to think carefully about it, right? And sometimes we go, about different things in life, but I want you to go, tonight about some Bible things. I want to give you a few places where the Bible uses the word contemplate, that is very important. For example, in Job 37, verse 14, and we're going to just use a few verses. Now we're going to just read a few verses. I don't know if you can throw up the slides or not, Jody. If not, that's fine. But Job 37, verse 14, we're to consider the works of God. He says, "Hearken to this, O Job, stand still. O Job, stand still. Listen, Job, and consider the wonderful works of God." So Job is told to consider God in his marvelous, mighty works. Now, what might these be? For example, we see in Psalm 19, verse 1, that we're to think about the universe, right? For example, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament his handiwork. The stars show us the handiwork of God. We can see with our eyes God's creation all around us. Consider God's wonderful works, Job. Or about James 1:17, where we're told that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, right? Every good and perfect gift, who gives to all men freely. So God gives us these awesome works. He consider God's works, Job. And James tells us, you make sure you consider these wonderful blessings that God gives us. In James 1:17, consider these things. Or we're told in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, to consider, you know what I'm going to say? Do you know what I'm going to say next? Consider the ant. Of all the things God tells to think about, consider the ant. Now, all kinds of ants in Texas. We have something you don't have everywhere else is fire ants. I live my life, nearly half of it, without one fire ant. And I came to Texas, and my life was never the same. These things are terrible. They're pernicious. They sting when they bite you, or they like fire. Of course, there are other ants around here. I know around Dinah's folks' house, they're the big red ants, right? They're even worse. If you get near one, luckily they're not quite as active as fire ants, but you can still get bit by one. That's not very good at all. But God says, consider the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. Be wise. Now, the Bible tells us we're to be industrious. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, we're told to either work or not eat. We're not supposed to be those who will not work and then expect to eat. He goes, you need to be able to, you need to either work or not eat, one or the other. Make sure you work to have food. And we're told in Psalm 133, verse 1, that we ought to, as we work, we're to work together, right? To be unified together and to spend time doing God's deeds together. So we see the word be like the ant to make preparation. In fact, in Proverbs 30, verse 25, we're told to make preparation for winter as an ant does. Now, we're to prepare for what comes next, which we should kind of bring our minds to. It could bring our minds to. Matthew 25. Where it talks about the sheep and the goats there and being prepared, because just as the ants are working all summer to prepare for winter, we're those who are to be prepared for the coming judgment day. We don't need a sermon on that. We've had several recently. You understand the concept. But Jesus tells us in the parables there, especially in Matthew 13, to be ready for judgment. And that's underlined in chapter 25 of Matthew. So the idea of make sure you're ready for what comes next when it comes to judgment is something God wants us to be. Like the ant prepares for a hard winter, you prepare for the coming glory, hopefully, of heaven and judgment that comes before that. We're also to consider the care God gives the fowls and of the air and the grass of the fields. In a beautiful passage, one of the most beautiful, I think, in Scripture is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 30. If you have your Bible, I'm going to read the entire verse. You might open there if you have the Bible to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 30. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. You know this text. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on? Is not your life more than meat, and your body more than clothes? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better or more value than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature, an inch to your stature? And why take you thought for your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more, he much more clothe you, you have little faith. I got it, right? And so the idea is, don't worry about those things. Consider what God does for you. Consider the idea that God takes care of the fowls of the air, and he'll take care of you too. consider God's generosity toward mankind, even when we often fall way short of God's expectations. Now understand that God knows that we were going to sin and fall short. In fact, he knew that before he made the Garden of Eden. Because even then, even in the very beginning of things, when you had man first fall, there was prophecy given in Genesis 3:15 that there would one day be a Savior come who would crush a serpent and so we could have life again through him to be attached again to this tree of life God put in the garden. This tree you see in Genesis and then Revelation, this tree of life, we can once again have access to because of the plan of God. Ephesians says, from the foundations of the world that God made this plan for his church. So even before the foundations of all things, God had this idea of a church in mind. What's a church? A church is the body of Jesus Christ, right? That Jesus would come to give his body, to give us off on the cross, so we could have forgiveness by God's grace and glory. So God knew before he made us, because God knows all things, that we would fall short. But it's not just a falling short of perfection. God had in place a plan where we could even fall short of that. Fall short of that. Because you see, God's view of faithfulness is not perfection. God's view of faithfulness is that we can still struggle and fall and get back up again. Right? Proverbs says a threefold cord is not easily broken. That has to do with the idea of friendship, that we can band together and work together and be stronger as a group than we can as one strand that's easily broken. But the fact is, God knows we're going to make mistakes, and so God gives us each other. God gives us his word that helps us be well to be. I'm so thankful for that. So many times that we get down on ourselves and we take the time just to meditate and think about what God has provided for us, all the better. Consider what God gives us is such a blessing. How about number four? Consider Christ. Of all the things we were to consider and think about and go, about, do that with Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 tells us, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Don't be weary. Don't faint. In fact, the key from that, you consider, you examine, you are thoughtful about Jesus Christ. That will help keep you from being weary in your world, and worrying in your everyday going on. We think about what he endured, again, chapter 12, verse 3 of Hebrews. The things he went through on his way to the cross. The cross was so heavy, in fact, at one point he had to have someone help him carry it. But the sins of the world, though, he bore those all by himself. He did this for us. Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. Luke 19:10, Jesus came, why? To seek and to save that which was lost, you and me. You know, have you ever, maybe it's not so much here, but you've all been in this situation where you're comfortable and you're in your favorite chair. Maybe you got a drink. Maybe you're watching your favorite program. And you just had a long, hard day, or you really are enjoying something, and you got to get up and move and do something else. And you feel bothered by it because you're comfortable. You got your drink. Maybe you got a snack there, your favorite snack. You're enjoying the thing you've been waiting to see, and now maybe the football game, you know. And all of a sudden, now you got to get up and deal with something else. I remember growing up in the Midwest where it would be snowy, and sometimes I'd have to get up and shovel the snow because we couldn't get out of the driveway. If the snow was too tall, you got to go and shovel the snow just so you can get out of the driveway and go to work. My mama would have me do that sometimes. And you're inside a warm house with a fire-burning stove. And you could have your cocoa or whatever you want. You're inside, you're warm. You're not dressed for the outside. You're not dressed with overalls and things like that. And your mama says, "Hey, go shovel the drive. It's warm inside. I got to go where it's cold and nasty. I'm going to get sweaty and gross. My big coat and my gloves and things like that." You don't wear gloves. Your hands get kind of numb, you know. I think of that. And I think about Jesus leaving heaven to bear my sins on a cross, to, again, to suffer hunger and thirst and pain and beating and being, Jesus was bullied before the cross. He was mocked and made fun of for those he was coming to save. That doesn't compare to my having to put my boots on and go out and shovel the snow, but I tell you what, it's a million times that. If we sometimes get put off by the fact that we're finally, we got home, we got our boots off or shoes off, and we're comfortable, and now we got to get dressed again and go out and do something else, how it irritates us. Think of what Jesus went through. Consider Jesus. In Hebrews 12:3 says, because of Jesus, don't be weary. Say, about Jesus and think about him when it comes to losing my faith. I just can't do it. Thinking about that should make us be stronger. Number five. Importantly, also consider yourself. The Bible says to consider yourself. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, this verse is used. Brethren, if it may be overtaken in the fall, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, we're to reach out to our fellow man, and we're to be those who are faithful stewards, and we're to be those who are trying to bring others to Jesus Christ, be a source of strength for other people. But he says, as you seek to help other people, especially restore other people, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Don't be pulled in the water by the drowning man. Try and help the man, but not to the point where you're drowning yourself. That's the point Paul makes in Galatians. Don't fall in that problem. Sometimes our weaknesses can be something that are drawn out by other people. We can sometimes be goaded into sin by somebody else. He says, be careful of that. Don't be overcome by someone else's weakness and shortcomings. Don't do that. Don't make sure you guard yourself as you help somebody else. Jesus did say, before you criticize somebody else, take the beam out of your own eye, or you take the speck out of somebody else's. But the reverse is also true. Before you help somebody else, make sure you remember you can do it effectively. This doesn't mean don't help people. It just means think about yourself. Go, observe, carefully consider what you can do for somebody else, and don't be drawn into it the same center as some weakness. This also means we should know our weaknesses. Just like any battle plan on a battlefield, you have to know your enemy's weaknesses and your own before you can have success. It also means that in our life, what things are my weaknesses? What's my kryptonite, if you have a Superman reference in your head somewhere? What makes me weak? What's my temptation? And stay away from those things, best we can. Now, Satan's clever, he's smart, and he's has a world full of sin, so you can never stay away from things altogether. But you can stay away from things. One of my favorite examples of this, I'm sure I've shared it with you before, but I really like to share this example, is my deceased friend now, who was a school of mine, Lee was his name. Not Lee, but Lee was his name. And Lee had a very worldly upbringing, some time in the Navy and overseas. When he came to become a Christian, he wanted to learn to preach the gospel. He did that for several years before he died. But Lee one day coming to school was late. And, you know, the teacher wants you to be at school on time. And, of course, the other students who had done their memory work first were waiting on Lee so they could do that. You answer a roll by quoting verses for your Bible class you're in that day. And way lately, well, I just was. And said, well, when do you get up? And he got up in plenty of time because, you know, people just ribbing him. Well, you just live down the street. Why did you not get here on time? He drove about 5 minutes out of the way or 10 minutes out of the way to avoid South of Congress in Austin. You might not know Austin. South of Congress is where all the strip clubs are and all the hookers hang out. And now he's dead serious. We thought he was making some kind of weird joke. And we're like, well, why? You just drive by him, right? Just come to Bible class. He goes, you know what? He goes, I just can't look drive by those things anymore. he spent so much time when he was younger partaking in those kinds of things. He didn't want to go by and see those women of the night out on the street, on the street corner, or driving by these big billboards with all the strippers on them. He goes, I just can't do it. He knew his temptations. He knew the things that he should stay away from. Right? Whether it's not walking down a certain aisle of the grocery store or not going to a certain store in general or staying away from certain things, if we consider ourselves, we will act intelligently. And friends, that may not solve the problem, but it sure helps it, amen? If we think about the things that are our weaknesses, we can help ourselves be stronger as we consider ourselves as the Bible commands us to do. And number last, consider one another. Observe, think about, weigh carefully, say about one another. Hebrews 10:24 tells us to consider one another to provoke us into love and good works. To provoke us into love and good works. So we're come together as we are right now. One thing God tells us to do as we come together is to consider each other. I'm not selfish, you see, as a Christian. I'm not supposed to be. I'm supposed to be one who thinks about other people around me, especially as we gather together. That's the context of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, 25, that we provoke each other to love and good works. So when I come to see you and I come to worship, sometimes there may be days in your life where you think, listen, whew, I just made it to church. Good for me. You ever felt that way? Don't lie. You ever feel like I got all my clothes on in the right place. I'm just happy to be here. I've had a long day or a long week. I got the grandkids. I'm just happy to be here, right? Something like that. Well, the Bible tells us that while that's good, it's not just about us. It's about considering each other. And that one of my things I do in the assembly is I am here to encourage my brothers and sisters. So it's not just about me being here, which is very, very important. Listen, I'm so glad you're bringing yourself every time. But as we come, think about the brother or sister so-and-so, and how can I encourage them to keep on keeping on? How can I encourage them to love God more and do more for God? Not criticize, not a harangue, not, I don't know a better word than nag. That's bad negative connotation. But just simply encourage each other to love and good works by our examples, by our words, by our kind words, by our interest in them. God wants us to consider ourselves, Jesus, and also the works of God, as we talked about, but also you consider one another. As I've grown in Christ over the years, I hope I'm not done yet growing in Christ, but one of the things I've learned more and more is that the church isn't just about me. Not at all. In fact, not about me at all. It helps me grow, but and some people say, well, you see, the thing is, the church is about God. It is about God. God first, above all. We come to worship God. God's the spectator of our worship. God is amongst us as we worship. We see in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 that Jesus Christ walks among the candlesticks as their faithful churches gathering to worship. Amen. So church is about God, first and foremost. Not about me. But also, though, also the Bible says, when you come together, consider one another. I want you to know I love and appreciate you. I hope our numbers grow and increase as time goes on and not the other way around. Last few years have been kind of tough for different reasons. We have losses. People have gone to be with the Lord. People have moved off. People have gone to other places for various reasons from time to time. But that doesn't mean we quit, does it? That doesn't mean we stop. We keep on trying to cause the Church of Christ, the Kingdom of God, to grow. We keep on trying to help God's kingdom increase, to do more for him and his kingdom. Listen, if God's real, that's our duty. Consider God's kingdom as well as we try and help it grow, help it prosper. So let's not give up. Let's make sure we encourage each other to grow and have good works, as Hebrews 10:24 tells us. And part of that is to try and consider each other when it comes to the growth of the church and the kingdom. Let's encourage each other to Bible study. Let's encourage each other to help invite others to church and help others in our lives. And I think that's really a big part of it. We might invite somebody to church. We might hand a tract out. But one thing we have to do as we invite them to church is, if we invite them to church, we're really trying to invite them into our families, into our lives, into our spiritual family most of all. But also that includes usually the idea of fellowship means they're part of our family as far as our community, right? So the idea of having someone come to church is more than just about giving an invitation and saying, will you come to our Friends Day, which is very, very important. But it's more about how can we make them a part of our lives and help make them more what God wants them to be. So in the process, we make ourselves more what God wants us to be. I hope that helps you if you're a Bible nerd tonight about the word to consider used in the Word of God. It's used very importantly. We just look at six examples. There were like 38 more we didn't get to. You're welcome for that, for those who want to see the game. But this is a very important idea to say when it comes to God's Word in the Bible, we have to pause and say, so we can rightly divide God's Word, think about it, process it, observe it carefully, consider it. So if you have a need and not to respond to the invitation that we give every time we come together, to maybe you want to, after the prayers of the church, maybe there's someone here tonight who wants to be baptized, maybe you realize maybe the first time you did it, you weren't in your right mindset and want to make sure you do it properly or talk about that more. Maybe you just want to be restored to faithful service if you've not been faithful for some reason. But we want to give this invitation to everyone here every time because we want to be ready to meet God. Like the scripture we looked at tonight, consider our ways, consider to be ready for winter. In our case, winter is the judgment coming to make sure we're ready for that great event, which will envelop all mankind. And God tells us how we can be ready. So let's make sure we are ready. If you have a need, please come as we send and sing this hymn.